Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's A-Wod, live and local here in Richmond, Virginia on a Friday, October 24th. And there are a new rule on 910 The Fan. On Fridays, we roll. We broadcast live from River City Roll here in Scott's Edition. It is a football Friday, October 24th, and we've got you covered all things football locally, high school, college, and the NFL. We'll bring on Moneyline Mac to get his best bets of the weekend at the college ranks, a little university drive with him at 1:30. We'll go around the NFL with NFL hits, and then we'll get to the AWOD Radio certified NFL game of the week, guaranteeing that it'll be worth your viewing time. We'll go around the NFL with our special guest Mark Schofield at 2:30. But it's 1 o'clock on The Fan, which means it's time for the Richmond Commander.
It's time for the Richmond Commander.
Are you ready, folks?
The phones are open. It's your chance to be the quarterback of this segment.
There's something I like to say.
Every day at 1 p.m. on AWOD Radio, the Richmond Commander.
Stubb, I don't know if it was because Week 8 started last night with Thursday night football, or maybe it was the guys getting back at practice, but I woke up today feeling a lot more positive about this season. Like I told Michael, I do think there's a chance you lose this game Monday, but you play good, get some confidence with Mariota leading the way with your two weapons, Terry and Debo, and then maybe you can win two games at home. I know the Seahawks and Lions are good, but home field has been an advantage for Washington since Jaden Daniels came in as the starting quarterback. Mariota's had success at home in his opportunities as well. I'm trying to be positive. And it was great to see Terry McLaurin and Debo Samuel not just back at practice, but back at practice full, not limited in any capacity there. Maybe we are turning a corner on these injuries. Is it possible? Can Washington play out the next 10 games and not suffer another season-long injury? I hope so. We have to put the injuries to bed. But I'm trying to stay positive, and of course, to win Monday, it's going to start with a great game from Marcus Mariota. Good news is he's done that in the past, including this season. He was terrific against the Vegas Raiders. And the most important thing is getting the ball to Terry McLaurin and Debo Samuel. Get it out of your hands quick, Marcus, and let the playmakers make plays. Because as I've said all week long, you know, I'm not happy with the way Joe Witt Jr. has coached the defense. I'm not happy with Cliff Kingsbury, who's supposed to be this offensive genius. Feels like his damn offense doesn't get started until the second or third drive of the game, right? We have one first drive for a touchdown. Feels like every team does that against us every single week, right? So the coaching staff needs to be better. But to me, and I've said this all week long, to win Monday night, this is a players' game. Players have to show up. Coaches coach, players play. These guys need to play their ass off to win Monday night. Let's get to the MIPS, the most important players for Washington to win. Stubb, I've gone with the obvious and the veterans, because I think those are the guys that need to step up most. Like I'm saying, the players are going to win this game for Washington, not the coaching staff. The most important player, I think, is Bobby Wagner. Bobby Wagner is a future Hall of Famer. Bobby Wagner has shown his ability, even at this age, to be a great linebacker against the run. And that's where this game starts, is taking away Pacheco, Kareem Hunt, anybody that runs the football for the Kansas City Chiefs. They have to get 1 to 2 yards per carry. There can be no explosive plays on the ground. There can be no pitches on the outside that go for 12 yards. Anytime Patrick Mahomes hands the ball off, we need to take that as a victory for the defense and stop them. Make them one-dimensional. So I'm starting with Bobby Wagner. Number two, I think Michael and I are in agreement that if they're going to win this game, we have to get after Patrick Mahomes like we got after Justin Herbert and force him off of his spot. And yes, losing Dorrance Armstrong hurts, but it's got to be a next man up. And I think you look at Von Miller as that next man up here. He is, like Bobby Wagner, a future Hall of Famer. Cannot believe that he's actually representing the burgundy and gold. He's been terrific in his weekly interviews on the Sports Junkies, and he's quietly having a really good season with 4 sacks already. I mean, people were saying, could we get 6 sacks out of Von Miller? It's looking like he might get to double digits, especially if he gets more snaps now that we've lost Dorrance Armstrong and others for the season. If Von Miller can make an impact in this game, that's part of the way that the defense gets stops and wins this game. Von Miller, when he was with the Broncos, was a nightmare for the Kansas City Chiefs every time he faced off against them. They'd have to double-team them, right? Von Miller needs to have a good game. And then in the secondary, you know, I'm asking for less Marshon Lattimore, right? Less Lattimore. But Mikey Sanders still needs to have a really good game here. The Kansas City Chiefs are terrific with putting guys in slot and getting them just quick passes, get rid of the ball out of Mahomes' hands, let the playmaker make a play, get some blocking ahead of them. This is a big Mikey Sanders still game in terms of, hey, he needs to be able to make short tackles in space. He's got to tackle better than he did before, and he's going to have to make a play on a ball at some point. Those are the three guys that I think are the most important players for Washington to win defensively. And the last person I'll point to is Quan Miller defensively. I mean, Quan Martin is just like, it feels like he's taking a step back. Maybe he got lucky at times last year with the ball just landing in his lap on an overthrow by Jared Goff. But I thought, and I think the coaching staff thought, that Quan Martin was really developing into a legit starting safety in the NFL. And it seems like he's taking a step back. He's an important player for Washington to win. Offensively, Mariota's number one. Number two, I think it's Zach Ertz. And to me, it's Zach Ertz making big, big plays and no drops. And he had a few last game. And he's got to be that safety blanket for the quarterback. The, nobody's open, let me throw to Zach Ertz. And him making the catch is the most important thing. Screw the yards after catch, Zach. You've got to make the catch. And he's had too many drops this season. Way too many drops this season for a guy that we count on to make the plays. Why has he been targeted 34 times and has 23 catches? That's not good enough, Zach. And last game and a few times this season, they've been on third down. And this team's not what they were on third down and fourth down last year. So you look at what he did against Dallas. He had 4 drops. 2 of those passes were not really catchable, but 2 of them, he dropped it in a big spot. A big spot. In fact, he's had quite a few drops this season. So it starts with Zach Ertz. Then I look at Debo and McLaurin. And what I love about Washington getting their full complement of receivers back is it's kind of like what Dallas has in George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb. They're different weapons. Debo's an inside guy that's unbelievable at yards after catch. McLaurin is your burner. He can burn you deep on the fly route. He can make incredible catches on 50-50 balls. You can throw it to him on a corner route and trust that he's going to come down with it. So they're different. And they can also be used on the same side of the field. And I think that's what we were hoping for when we brought them in was, all right, we have Noah Brown on the outside on one side. Noah Brown's going to be out. Obviously, he's on IR. But I'm talking about what the coaching staff in the front office was thinking. Noah Brown on one side. Maybe it's Jalen Lane on one side this weekend. On the other side, Ertz, Debo, McLaurin. Who are you going to guard? You're not going to go man-to-man against that because one of those guys is going to get open every single snap. And if you go zone, Mariota needs to sit back and just pinpoint accuracy, dink and dunk, and go down the field. And I think that's why it can work with Mariota because he's the veteran that should understand, I've got to take what the defense is giving me. I have to take what the defense is giving me. I don't want to bash Jaden at all, but he does seem to really love the home run ball. And last week in particular, and even the week before that, there were guys wide open in the flat. There was an open Luke McCaffrey. He didn't throw it. He went downfield. There was an open Zach Ertz. And we talked about this at times during his rookie year. The good thing is that he made the magic happen, right, when he needed it most. But for Mariota, he can take what the defense has given him, and he should, and he shouldn't try to force it downfield because we know when he forces it, that's when he makes his mistakes. And so what is Kansas City going to do? Are they going to let Washington go down the field and hope that they bend but don't break? Because I would love that. Because that leads to what I think we want to do, which is dominate the time of possession, limit Mahomes' opportunities. We're trying to play an old-school game of keep away to get the win on Monday night. Get off to a fast start, get the ball back after a stop, and take a two-possession lead, which then would allow Cliff Kingsbury to open up his playbook completely with runs, pass, even a trick play or something like that in there. And then we have to blitz and create a turnover. But I just don't think Washington is winning this game without Mariota running, Bill running, and then we play action off of that, and we hit McLaurin down the sidelines. He's got to get a touchdown on this one. I think McLaurin's got to get an explosive touchdown, and Debo's got to be big on third downs for Washington to get the win. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the most football talk in town. And we've got Virginia Tech on your airwaves tonight for some Friday night lights from Lane Stadium in Blacksburg. And then on Saturday, it's the Hoos heading to Chapel Bill to take on Bill Belichick and the UNC Tar Heels. Right now, we meet at College Street and University Drive.
Let's go to University Drive. Scores, rivalries, rankings, all the college football in the state of Virginia. We'll follow the action all season long.
Oh, yeah!
University Drive on AWOD Radio.
And our guest on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline, it is Ryan McIntyre, Moneyline Mac. What's up, dude? How are you?
Hey, Wob, what's up, man? Happy Football Friday.
Absolutely. So let's start with the fact that we have a top 20 team in the state of Virginia with the Cardiac Cavs, winners of two straight in overtime. Well, they're heading to Chapel Hill to take on North Carolina. How incredible is this that we're actually talking about a college football playoff sweat with Virginia and an ACC championship appearance in Charlotte?
It's unbelievable. Tony Elliott's doing an unbelievable job in year number three. Going into the year, I think we all agreed on your football festival that back in August that Virginia had a great schedule. It was just, could they put it together? And the offense really has in year three. So I think tomorrow's a trap game, though. I'm not going to lie. The Carolina-Virginia series, the dog has covered an outright won 9 out of the last 10 games. I'm going to take the points with Carolina. It's a little bit different when you're laying points with expectations on the road this time of year.
Yeah, oldest rivalry in the South, North Carolina against Virginia. I'm interested in your take on the 12 noon ABC SEC contest from Norman, Oklahoma. Oklahoma hosting Ole Miss.
So I'm on the Sooners. I think defensively it's a good matchup for them. I think they're able to get after the passer here. It's a back-to-back road spot for Ole Miss. I thought Ole Miss actually played pretty well last week against Georgia. The game just got away from them in the fourth quarter. But I think this is a tough matchup, tough travel spot, Oklahoma defensively. And I think Mateer's getting healthier and healthier coming off that thumb injury a couple weeks ago.
We've got Moneyline Mac with us here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. What's your best bet for this weekend?
I'm gonna lay the points with the team that's not ranked against the team that's ranked 11th in the country. BYU 7-0, coming off the Holy War win, coming in fat and happy. I think this is a tough spot. They're getting Iowa State, who's lost back-to-back games going into the bye week. But Iowa State was really banged up going into the bye week, and that was part of the reason why they lost those two games. They're getting healthy here, coming out of the bye. Rocco Becht is healthy, ready to go off that concussion. I'm gonna lay the 2.5 with Iowa State.
You know, Mac, I think it's October 24th here, but when you got the college football playoffs expanded to 12 teams, it opens the door for so many, especially if you're in the SEC. Feels like there's about 12 teams in the SEC that still have everything to play for. How many SEC teams make the CFP and name them?
Ooh, that's a great question. Pulling up the standings right now, I think it's going to be probably 5 bids. I think Georgia and Alabama will definitely make it. I think Ole Miss is actually going to make it, even though I had them losing tomorrow. I think that their schedule is very favorable down the stretch. They're able to get in at 10-2. I think Texas A&M will get in as well. And the fifth and final team will be Diego Pavia and the Vanderbilt Commodores.
I love that you said that, because they've got a big one this weekend, Mizzou at Vanderbilt. It kind of feels like this is an elimination game here, right? Because both those teams don't have the powerful schedule that Alabama and Georgia have.
And they don't have the brand name. Nick Saban openly admitted that he's struggling processing that Vanderbilt is an actual SEC contender and playoff contender last week on College Game Day. So the narrative still that Vanderbilt is like a mid-major program is still out there. But the reality is, this is a really good football team. They dominated LSU in the trenches. There was no fluke about that game. They've gone to South Carolina and won by 3 scores. They've gone to Virginia Tech and blown them out in primetime and Lane. And I thought they held their own against Alabama. I think Vanderbilt gets it done again tomorrow. I like Diego Pavia. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the country. He takes care of the ball, and I think these Commodores are the real deal.
Yeah, and yet front offices, athletic directors, don't believe the hype in Vanderbilt, because if you lose to them, all of a sudden you're on the hot seat, right? We saw that Virginia Tech, their coach getting fired. Now the latest LSU coach on the hot seat. What do you think of that primetime matchup, Texas A&M against LSU from Baton Rouge?
Tricky spot here for Texas A&M. Back-to-back road spot. This is leg two of a 3-game road trip. For whatever reason, A&M started with 3 straight home games in SEC play. Now they're on the road for 3 games. They were able to squeak out of Arkansas with a 3-point win, but that defense kind of got gashed. I'm not the biggest Brian Kelly guy, but I think this is kind of a foxhole Super Bowl spot. on the hot seat. I mean, if they don't win this game, they're not going to playoff. And I don't know if he's going to be back there if they don't make the playoff again in Baton Rouge. And we know how unpatient they are down there at LSU with all the national championships. So I like LSU to get it done, though, tomorrow. Backs against the wall. I think prime time, Death Valley, give me LSU and the points, and I think they went outright.
Heisman favorite right now. Seems like there's a lot of momentum recently to Ty Simpson. Nearly 2,000 yards passing for Alabama, who's 6-1 and undefeated in the SEC. But really, it's 18 touchdowns tossed to one interception.
Yeah, he's been awesome. This is such a narrative award. If Indiana goes 12-0, it's hard to see Mendoza not getting it. But I'm going to go with the guy, too, a guy to watch just that we already talked about that you and I are both fans of. I think it's Diego Pavia. They got a primetime or they got a standalone game on ESPN against Missouri. Next week they're at Texas. If they go into Austin and knock Texas out of the playoff, and then they finish at Tennessee. If Vanderbilt runs the table or wins 4 out of 5 and they're 10-2 and Diego Pavia gets them to the playoff, I think you've got to look at Pavia as a potential Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah, no, I think you're right that the schedule sets up for him to build the best resume of anybody. You know, like you just mentioned, some of the tough games that he'll play, Mizzou, Texas, and then, oh, yeah, let's go to Tennessee and win there to close out the season. But I think I have to say that if Carson Beck is able to run the table with Miami, I think he might end up winning this award because of the fact that he's taken over for Cam Ward, who was the number one overall pick, and outside of the Louisville game, he's been lights out. Now, he is the reason they lost that 4 interceptions, threw 5 of them. One got called back. But that's the only other guy. Him and Haynes King, I do feel like, if they run the table and end up undefeated to close out the season, could end up being Heisman winners.
Definitely. And honestly, I don't want to say the first 2 months don't matter, but it's such a recency bias award. Yeah. I mean, we saw Baker come out of nowhere. Kyler Murray wasn't even on the Heisman radar going into November when he won it. Who won it last year? Travis Hunter won it last year. We've just seen quarterbacks that get hot. RG3 once upon a time, Jaden Daniels at LSU. They just get really hot in the month of November, and I think everybody overreacts to what they saw the last 3 weeks versus the whole body of work for the whole year. So that's why I keep looking at these games where if you have standalone primetime games where more eyeballs are going to see you, that's a recipe to get in on the Heisman.
Who's the best team in college football this year?
Great question. I think it's the Indiana Hoosiers.
No, come on now. Come on now, dude. It's the Buckeyes.
The Buckeyes haven't really been tested, though. Texas isn't very good. They handled Illinois. They handled Washington. But I don't know how good those teams are. Indiana has gone to Oregon and handled that game, controlled that game on the line of scrimmage. They went to Iowa, where everybody struggles. And then they beat Illinois in their other game by about 100 points. So if I had to say, I'd say Indiana right now.
I mean, I kind of just think the Big Ten is overrated this year. You like Indiana. I like Ohio State. I think you could say for both they haven't really beaten anybody because, Oregon's that good. Well, they barely got by Penn State, who hasn't won a game yet in the Big Ten. I'm sipping the SEC Kool-Aid right now. I think there's 3 teams in the SEC that are better than most teams in the Big Ten outside of Ohio State.
It could be. I mean, it could be Alabama. It's hard for me to get that Florida State game out of my mind. I know that it was week 1, but just the way that they were dominated and then – Georgia.
When does A&M get your respect, Ryan?
If they get it done tomorrow, it's going to be hard because that means they would have won at Notre Dame in primetime, at LSU in primetime. I said, I'm a big road wins. When you win on the road, that's when you get my attention. And I think because that's the hardest thing to do in college football with all these crazy environments.
Yeah. Do you have Notre Dame as a playoff team if they win out?
Yes, even though I don't really know if their resume is that good. But I mean, if they go 10-2, we all know that Notre Dame's in.
Yeah, which is annoying because I don't know that the Miami loss is going to look great at the end of the season. Yeah, Texas A&M, one-point loss there, but they have one top 25 win over USC, and I don't even know that USC will end up being a playoff team. Mac, thanks so much for joining us here. Any other last-minute bets you'd like to give out here on The Fan?
I want to take Vandy, or I already took Vandy against Missouri. Another one, I'm going to lay the points with Iowa. They're laying 8.5. The total's only 33.5. I think they shut out Minnesota. And then I'll take the Gamecocks plus the points against Alabama. Kind of a sleepy spot for the Tide, I think.
All right, man. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, AWOD. Appreciate it, man.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. So last night was a dud of a Thursday night game on Amazon Prime. Chargers just walked all over the Vikings, and we had to watch Carson Wentz vomit all over himself and go down in pain over and over again, playing through a shoulder injury, just a thrown interception, get sacked five times, and only score 10 points. But we look at the Sunday slate and Monday Night Football, and we go through them all to pick the AWOD Radio NFL Certified Game of the Week.
This is AWOD Certified Game of the Week. Officially recognized as the NFL game this weekend that is certain to meet the qualifications or viewing standards set by football guys around the country.
Touchdown! Tie game! Launching downfield, and it is caught!
Guaranteed to be a football guy's football game.
All right, let's do process of elimination here, going through some of these games, Stub. Dolphins-Falcons, just no, no way. Jets-Bengals, no, not happening. Dong that one. Browns-Patriots, no, not interested. Giants-Eagles, all right, a little bit of intrigue there. I'm guaranteeing an Eagles victory after losing to the Giants 2 weeks ago on Thursday Night Football. Bills-Panthers. Bounce-back spot for the Bills. They win easily. Not our game of the week. Bears-Ravens. Some intrigue there with Lamar Jackson returning and the 1-5 Ravens actually being picked to win over a 4-2 Chicago Bears team. 49ers-Texans. Season's on the line for Houston. Mac Jones has led the 49ers to a 5-2 record. Bucks-Saints. Bucks get the win easily. Saints are one of the worst teams in football. Cowboys-Broncos. All right, now we're talking. That's a football game. Titans-Colts. Blowout win for the Colts. Sunday night, Packers-Steelers, and I think we have our answer right there. There's just too much not to like. Aaron Rodgers going up against his old team. Both teams are sitting in a really good spot right now to be a playoff team. Packers 4-1-1. Steelers top of their division at 4-2. From Heinz Field, that is now known as Acrisure Stadium in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Steelers-Packers is the AWOD Radio Certified NFL Game of the Week. I mean, you're talking about two quarterbacks that like to air it out. Jordan Love has found Romeo Dobbs over and over again. Aaron Rodgers has found DK Metcalf over and over again. Two defenses that have kind of been questioned this season, right? I mean, Packers add Micah Parsons, they expect to be an elite defense. They gave up 40 to the Dallas Cowboys. And then since then, still haven't been that great. They're 10th in points against, but they're just not creating the turnovers, I think, like they thought they would, and getting the sacks with Micah Parsons. And the Steelers, it's kind of an embarrassing defense for them. They're used to being an elite defense. You thought Aaron Rodgers scores 31 points, they're going to win every game. No, they get beat by the Bengals. 33-31. This is a defense here that hasn't been able to get off the field this season. You look at the Packers, have been kind of an underwhelming defense. So one of these defenses will step up, but I think it's going to be a high-scoring game that will come down to the final possession, and that's why it's the AWOD Radio Certified NFL Game of the Week.
I'm going to back that pick. Yeah, I think it is the best one. I think it's a pretty poor slate, if I'm being honest, on the entire week.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of hype here, and I think it's going to be very telling for either season who wins.
I was not going to pick Dallas at Denver. Believe me. I'm not picking Dak Prescott as the must-watch game of the week. No, thank you. But that probably is second place right there. And then I'm very interested in Ravens Bears, but you can't pick a team that's 1-5 as right. your certified game of the week. Hard All right, Lamar Jackson's a former MVP and could get back to an MVP level by the end of this season. And his return is interesting, but it's not the certified game of the week. That is a it's a good enough game that I would not red zone it. I would actually watch CBS this weekend, but it's just not it's not the game of the week right there. And I actually am very excited for Giants Eagles, but I'm not going to pick the Jalen Hurts-led offense that has been struggling to throw the ball down the field, even though they're coming off a good performance against Jackson Dart as their certified game of the week. I think you're right, Stubb. It, across the board, it's a pretty lousy slate for
yeah,
this week.
Yeah, there's so many duds.
Yeah. Right. I mean, we didn't even really do the dud matchup, but you could pick three or four of them. I probably would say the biggest dud is Tampa Bay going to New Orleans. I just look, Tampa Bay dominates that division. They're going to win it again, and they're going to win easily in New Orleans. New Orleans is just embarrassing. Embarrassing right now. They made Chicago look good last week, and I really don't think the Bears are all that good. That's why I am taking Baltimore. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. I think it's very interesting that Aaron Glenn is like refusing to discuss quarterback one. Is he trying to give Justin Fields some confidence? Because not committing to him is not giving him any confidence. I think he wants to come out and say Tyrod Taylor is going to be the starting quarterback, but Tyrod Taylor's questionable with an injury. So he's really in a predicament here, right? What do you do? Do you say, hey, Tyrod Taylor, who missed practice, he was limited at Friday's practice with a knee injury, is going to start Sunday? Or are you going to go with Justin Fields again? And what we're watching from Justin Fields is just, I think he's below number 32 because backups have played better than Justin Fields this year, Stubb. That's yes. your guy. Defend him. Is he better than the 32nd quarterback in the NFL?
I don't think so anymore.
I'd probably put him at 33 right now.
He's just not showing up. He's done nothing to gain any confidence.
Yeah, there are numerous backups that are playing better than Justin Fields. I would take Marcus Mariota in a heartbeat over Justin Fields.
He has legitimate weapons, too. Like, I mean, you have Breece Hall, Braylon Allen, and Garrett Wilson. Like, you don't have nothing to work with.
Well, Wilson's out for this
weekend. I know, but he's been there.
So it's going to be even worse for them. That's why I think they're going to wait to just test Tyrod Taylor's knee on Sunday morning and maybe give him a go. But it's been awful for Aaron Glenn in his first season in charge in the Jets. And to let you know, yeah, that roster, it's more than just an Aaron Rodgers issue. It's more than just a Robert Saleh issue. The Jets are going to Jets at the end of the day. Pretty much my entire lifetime outside of a few good years under Rex Ryan, they've been a dumpster fire of an organization. Dumpster fire. And Joe Flacco is going to lead the Bengals to victory. And my goodness, is there going to be a lot of hype about the Bengals after that, right? Because the issue was, all right, without Joe Burrow, they can't throw the football. And Joe Flacco is not just belong in the same conversations as Joe Burrow, but one of those guys has a Super Bowl championship. All right? And Joe Flacco, with his experience in the National Football League, knows when you have weapons like Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, sometimes you just chuck it up and say, screw it,
you
Jamar is down there somewhere.
Yeah. It's right? saving Zach Taylor's job a little bit, which
it really
I don't
is.
Love.
Because their defense is still 31st in the NFL, right? Their defense is not doing anything special. But with Joe Flacco,
you just have the,
all
like,
of a sudden, I mean,
the best receiver in the NFL, maybe, or at least
top two.
Like,
look at like the last game, like when they were starting Jake Browning, they scored 3 points against the Denver Broncos. Joe Flacco has given that offense life, and it gives them a chance to be a playoff team, which is just crazy to say. After the weeks after Joe Burrow, they looked like the worst team in football.
Yeah, because you look at that 3-point game. Jamar Chase had 8 targets.
Yeah.
Look at the Joe Flacco, he had 26. So there's a very clear answer.
Right, which is Joe just he gives the wide receivers a chance, and those two guys are making plays. You're listening to AWOD here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, we bring on the expert to go around the National Football League. Mark Schofield will join us next on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. You're listening to AWOD broadcasting live from River City Roll here in Scott's Edition. Not your grandmother's bowling alley. There is live music and entertainment here on Fridays and Saturdays, a heated patio as well. Mark Schofield covers the NFL for SB Nation. He joins us next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, the most football talk in town. You can hear the 804 broadcast game of the week on 910 The Fan, Friday Night Lights, Virginia Tech, UVA, and the Washington Commanders, as well as Westwood One primetime NFL coverage and play-by-play right here on The Fan. Joining us right now to go around the National Football League on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline from SB Nation, it's Mark Schofield. What's up, Mark?
What's going on, Adam? How you doing today, my friend?
Good. Let's start with the best team in football. I know there's only one team with 6 wins, but it can't possibly be the Indianapolis Colts, right?
No, I mean, while the Colts have been a tremendous story, and I do think that they've proven a lot of people wrong to this point, people thought they were probably going to fade off. They were probably going to start losing some games. It's hard to say, given who they've played, given, you know, what's left on the schedule, given some tests that they still have remaining, that they're the best team in football. It's hard to really say who is the best. I think you can make a case for the Eagles still being the best team in football. They seem to have perhaps righted the ship after what looked to be a rough stretch for them. There was a fear that those two losses, Denver and the Giants, was going to be the start of the wheels completely falling off. They come back with a win against Minnesota. I think there's a case that maybe they might be the best team in football. I wonder if we're going to see the best version of the Kansas City Chiefs going forward, if they've totally figured things out now that Rice is back. I know they're just sitting there at 4-3, but it looks like their run is starting. And then you've got two teams in the North, the Packers, who we're going to see on Sunday night, and the Lions. Lions have looked good in recent weeks. Packers, they had a strange scenario last week where they had a big delay coming out, you know, of Green Bay to get down to Arizona. They could have fallen in that game. They go down 10 points, but they came back. They won. you know, I think those two teams might have a case for it right now. But it's really a situation, I think, where we've got a number of good teams. It's hard right now to point to a great team. There's a lot of football left to be played, but I don't think there's really, as we sit here right now, a great team in the NFL.
Best quarterback in the NFL this season. Best quarterback in the NFL in the last 10 years, you'd say the guy that Washington is going to face on Monday Night Football. But for this season so far, I got to give it to Dak Prescott, which pains me so much to say, Mark.
Yeah, and I think there's a very strong case to be made that it is Dak Prescott. When you look at the numbers he's put up, 16 touchdowns, just the 3 interceptions. You know, he's among the league leaders in adjusted net yards per attempt. He's among the league leaders, is the league leader in QBR. He's put up some massive numbers, and it's not just a scenario where, you know, they're blowing teams out and he's getting these garbage time numbers. Like, you think about the Patriots back in 07, they were blowing teams out, going forward on fourth down when they got 30-point leads and Brady was still in the game. Prescott has to put up these numbers because that defense is not good. That defense has given up, you know, the most points per game in the National Football League, last I checked. And so he has to have this level of production. So I think Prescott has a very strong case for best QB this season. You know, some other quarterbacks around the league, Daniel Jones, perhaps. Some others, I think, could make a case as well. You look at players like, you know, Drake May. Well, he hasn't really faced anybody. Maybe Jared Goff. Maybe Jordan Love. Maybe Matthew Stafford. But I think, you know, by and large, it's Dak Prescott.
Who is the biggest name on the hot seat going into this weekend? Is it the head coach of the Miami Dolphins?
I don't think so, just because of the schedule. You look at next week, they have a Thursday night game against Baltimore. That's a very tight window to fire a head coach on Sunday and then play again Thursday night. I think Mike McDaniel is probably going to, after that Thursday night game next week against Baltimore. It wouldn't surprise me if the announcement comes early Friday morning, you know, that they have parted ways with Mike McDaniel. But I think the way the schedule sets up, he's probably got another 2 games in Miami because of that tight turnaround, that short week. And the thing about, you know, firing Mike McDaniel after a Thursday night game, you give the interim head coach now that sort of mini bye, an extra couple of days over the weekend to get things sorted, get things installed, get up and running, get up to speed. And so I think that probably buys him some time. Now, as far as a coach that might end up, you know, fired as a result of that, you know, I don't know. I don't know how we're really feeling about Jonathan Gannon right now in Arizona. I think he's kind of found his way to the hot seat. I don't think it's a situation where they're going to fire him. Woody Johnson kind of came out and in the process of backing Aaron Glenn back to the bus over Justin Fields, but I don't think that the Jets are going to make a change. I do think the next head coach fired is McDaniel, but I think it comes next week, not this week.
Yeah, I just wonder when the seat really heats up for first-year coach Aaron Glenn with the 0-7 New York Jets. A coach that I don't think coaches his current team next season is Pete Carroll. I think he's cashing a check. Now, I don't expect like Tom Brady and ownership to make a change in the middle of the season because they probably have a lot of respect for Super Bowl-winning head coach Pete Carroll and the work he did at USC. I don't see him being the head coach next year at all in Vegas.
Yeah, and I think you might be right about that. I think it might be a scenario where, you know, they go through the rest of the season, they sit down after the year ends, and Pete, they come to sort of that mutual parting of the ways, right? Where Pete says, look, you know, I thought I still had the energy. I thought I still had, you know, what it takes to win in the NFL. I thought I was up for the challenge of turning this program around. It's going to be more than a 1 to 2 year process, and I'm not going to be able to see this job through. And they sort of have that mutual part of the ways. Because I'll admit, Adam, I really was excited about what the Raiders did this offseason. I was buying in on it. I was buying in on Pete Carroll. I was buying in on Geno Smith. I was buying in on Ashton Jeanty. And it just has not worked. And it's hard to see them turning this thing around. Like I said, in 1 to 2 years, it seems like it's going to be a multi-year rebuild. Because now you're thinking about starting over at the quarterback position, you know, maybe going down a new head coach road as well. And I don't think Pete Carroll wants to be patient enough, has the patience to sort of see that process through.
So the segment is the AWOD Radio Hadid Mercer Head Coach's Hot Seat. Assistant coaches, though. Joe Witt Jr. of the Washington Commanders has to be on the hot seat. He's had an awful defense this season. It was not a good defense last year. It was masked by the MVP-level performance of the Rookie of the Year, Jaden Daniels. Do you see Washington improving at all defensively? What is your kind of national perspective view on the train wreck that we're watching every weekend here?
Yeah, I mean, it has been a, you know, the defense has not been good. And I think there's a couple of things that you can point to. You can point to, you know, the fact that they can't really, you know, consistently stop the run. They're not getting a ton of turnovers. They're not generating the kind of pressure that you'd like. You know, there's a couple of things schematically maybe you can point to, but it's just been, it just has not been the level of success. I do think he's on the hot seat. Can it get turned around? You know, if this were, say, late September, I think, you know, maybe you got some games ahead to sort of sort things out. You've got some time to sort of sort things out. But we're getting to basically the midpoint of the season now. You kind of are who you are at this point. You kind of, you know, this is what you're going to be. There's no real time for improvement. And you start thinking about what's coming. You obviously face the Kansas City Chiefs this week. An offense that seems to be figuring out. You get Seattle, a team that has done some things offensively, particularly with the play-action passing game with Sam Darnold. That could give you some problems. You get Detroit. You get Denver. You know, they're going to face some good offenses down the stretch. And you, of course, get the Eagles twice to end the season. And then, of course, you get Dak Prescott, you know, in that Week 17 game. And that's an offense that's going to put up numbers. So you see what they've done today. You see what's left on the schedule. It's hard to see that all getting sorted out now that we're basically to Halloween.
Yeah, especially with your quarterback being sidelined with a hamstring injury. The ESPN headline, Chiefs and Commanders clash. Mahomes on fire. Washington in desperation mode on Monday nights. That says it all right there. What would a Washington win look like? I've been saying they would have to play keep away. Old school keep away, control time of possession, like 39-21, and Mahomes just does not get an opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the kind of win that makes the most sense. That's the path to a win that seems the most viable because, you know, given everything we just talked about, I don't think it's likely that this Commanders defense is going to go out and just shut down Kansas City and pitch a shutout or, you know, the 2025 version of a shutout in the NFL, which might be holding them to 10, 13 points. I don't think that's the likely pathway to a Washington win. It's turning Mahomes into a spectator, turning Rice and that Travis Kelce and the rest of that Kansas City offense into spectators on Monday night, working the time of possession, working the clock, long, sustained drives that finish with points, hopefully with touchdowns. Because, you know, if you have these long, sustained drives against a team like Kansas City, but you finish them with three instead of seven, you're still leaving the door open. You've got to finish those drives with touchdowns. That's the recipe. That's the path. Can they do it? That's tougher. But if they're going to win, that's the way they're going to have to do it.
Yeah, I got a little bit of optimism from practice yesterday, seeing Terry McLaurin and Deebo Samuel full participants. And we know Marcus Mariota can lead this offense down the field for some points. But like you said, these drives that get to the red zone have to end in touchdowns. And you got to hope somehow your defense gets a crucial stop at some point in this game. But, Mark, let me ask you this. Like, where did we go wrong here? Because I'm not blaming General Manager Adam Peters. That's the one person I'm not blaming for this season. Because I just think I've seen awful general managers in Washington. And we've never had this much success. 12 wins in his first season. And the expectations changed completely. But where would you say this team went wrong? I'm not blaming the general manager.
Yeah, I don't think you blame the general manager here either. I think there's a couple of things you can point to. You can point to Daniels dealing with injuries. And when you've got an offense that is built around a quarterback in Jaden Daniels and what he can do inside, outside the pocket, run game, pass game, when he's injured, when he's dealing with lower body injuries, that's going to limit what this offense looks like. That's going to limit the explosive playmaking ability of this offense. This is a league that is predicated on generated explosives on the offensive side of the ball, passes plus 20, runs plus 10. When you don't have Daniels in the lineup consistently, you're not doing that. And then on the flip side, defensively, it's about limiting the explosives. They've given up a lot of explosives both in the run and the pass game this year. that's not a recipe for winning football games in this generation of the National Football League. So I think that's really it more than anything else. It's not a roster construction thing. It's not, you went in for these huge, high-priced free agents and they're not panning out. So you don't pin this on the general manager. It's just the fact that explosive plays from both sides of the ball, for whatever reason it is, injuries on offense, poor execution on defense, they've given up a lot, they haven't gotten enough on offense, and that's the reason they are where they are right now.
Yeah, it's execution. The players have to make plays. That's why I've been saying it's going to be a player's game if they have a chance to win on Monday. Mark, thanks for the time, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Adam. Have a great weekend and enjoy the games.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.